Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Last Saturday, while washing dishes at his home in Miami, Jose suffered a laceration on his left thumb that required 5 stitches. This morning in Chicago, Jose underwent microscopic surgery on his left thumb to further determine the extent of his injury. The procedure identified a lacerated digital sensory nerve in his left thumb, which was surgically repaired. Jose is expected to resume his throwing program in approximately 2 weeks, after which time a further determination will be made on expected length of absence.
The D and Davis Show on 670 The Score.
D and Davis Show, sitting in for the Grobber. I am Damon Spurl. Hey, give us a call, 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. That's the number and the text line. So thank you all. Thank you to all the texters calling in to us. And text messages coming in as well. That was from Peter Chase, the Cubs Director of Media Relations, talking about Jose Quintana's thumb injury. And listen, I know a lot of people is coming out today talking about, hey, man, just get to do the dishwasher. Some people like to wash dishes.
I was going to say that. Like, I think any pitcher, well, I'll be honest with you, probably.
I like to use my hands a lot.
No, you probably shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Pitchers, particularly pitchers, you need a dishwasher. It really, even everyday players, you know what I'm saying, just the risk of that. Usually, I rarely wash the dishes, and I'm dissed a lot at home because of that. But growing up doing it, I would be very ginger with how I'm reaching and grabbing things up and under that sudsy water or whatever. But Jose, it just hasn't been going for you. You had a decent season, a good season last year to the last month. It's probably time. I always wanted him to perform well for the Cubs. Being that when he was on the South Side, he got no run protection. But he was still out there dealing, giving quality starts. I hope he can come back, man. That's a guy that, especially his move to the North Side and the treats that he brought back to the South Side. But it's a guy that I've always rooted for on either side of town. So definitely you want to see him be able to come back, and hopefully he comes back and the Cubs pitching is a little thin and they're long in the tooth. Hopefully he can come back and really help that team and give a little bit of worth to that trade they made from getting him from the White Sox.
Guys, what is it about baseball players suffering these random injuries all the time?
That's a good question. Listen, Ken would always get on me because I was a Madison Bumgarner fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Madison Bumgarner would go out there and ride ATVs. Did he hurt his shoulder or something like that? I think that's what it was, right? You're right, though, Mike. They have very random, them and former Chicago Bull Carlos Boozer, who tripped over a gym bag.
But what about Brian Robertson, who broke his wrist for the Chicago Bears? Do you remember Brian Robertson?
I remember Brian Robertson.
Defensive lineman, I believe. Yeah. I think he fell. That was the story. And he hurt himself. Listen, because they out usually what you're asking, Mike, because baseball players occasionally are habitual line steppers. Even though this sounds like it could be valid from Jose Quintana. But, yeah, a lot of these guys out there doing stuff that in that contract that they're told they can't do because they want to live their life and end up getting themselves hurt and perhaps sometimes losing a little bit of money off their contracts because of it.
Yeah, I remember Yoenis Cespedes had the big one falling off his horse at the ranch, right? And then you had Kerry Wood back in the day taking a spill out of a hot tub. I mean, he's just out of nowhere sometimes.
I could get the hot tub one, though. I can see the hot tub one, though. You know, Kerry probably was a little, probably had a little couple drinks in him. If you're in a hot tub, you probably enjoying yourself a little libations or whatever. Got out, slipped off of something. Especially, like, depending on, like, hot tubs are kind of weird. Even compared to a swimming pool, because a swimming pool, usually since you're stepping in the water before you're coming out, it's easier to kind of adjust to when you get on top if the rest of the floor is wet. But like hot tubs, since you like it's on the ground, and how it's just weird sometimes being in a hot tub and trying to come out of a hot tub. But yeah, man, it's baseball players like to go ahead.
Here's one. Remember Sammy Sosa? Was it Sammy Sosa sneezing and hurt his back? Now, as I've That can happen. I was going to say that. As I've gotten older, a little cough or a sneeze, you're like, oh, what was that? Like, you know what I'm saying? You'll pull something. So, I don't know, Mike. I mean, they do have some of the most random injuries, but baseball, man, is just kind of like just that kind of a weird sport. But going back to your point, Ken, about Jose Quintana, and hopefully he does help out the Cubs this season. He had a good season, but like you said before, it kind of tailed off at the end. Listen, as I said before, this season is a sprint, man. It's not a marathon. And if you lose a top arm like that for that long of a time, although it's 2 weeks, go lose for 2 weeks, then he has to kind of like go through a spring training himself. I mean, what? That's going to be a quarter of the season gone, probably? Almost. Yeah. Or not a quarter of a season, but a good chunk of the season. Then he has to get back into the rotation, and then he has to start pitching at a high level because it's going to like every game count. So losing Jose Quintana for that, it seems a short amount of time in the landscape of the MLB season, man, that's a long period of time.
Dan Davis sitting in for Les Grobstein. Dial us up or text us at 312-644-6767. Lucky enough, we got a caller there we've been used to. Our man Emmett in Nashville. You want to switch off and talk a little football. You know, Dan Davis love a little football. So what you got going on, Emmett? How's everything going down in Nashville?
How you doing, Emmett? Good morning, man.
Good morning, man.
Hey, don't disagree with any of the topics talked about. But I just want to say, you know, one thing before the football thing. You know, my frame of reference is that European soccer, right? And they're playing, and they've been playing, and now they're in, I guess the Premier League is in the playoffs or whatever, with Liverpool beating whoever, kind of as the upset. But they're playing in front of empty stadiums, though. So. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're getting through their season or whatever, but they're playing in front of empty stadiums. And I think that's the precursor for what's going to happen probably in America. Is, you know, maybe college football and maybe professional football and maybe baseball.
You know, Emmett, let me ask you this, Emmett, real quick, because that's a good point. I think my only pushback would probably be that the amount of infection here is so high. Like when you look at those numbers international, as far as America and Brazil, you know what I'm saying? You have a lot more cases here. So that would probably mean that there'll be a lot more players who are probably going to end up having it. That'd probably be because I think they're going to play, Emmett. And it is going to be look like a Premier League. But the only thing is, those countries they didn't burn up, and you didn't have the epicenter in something like New York and what's happening in Florida and what's happening in Texas. So that's like you have a chance for more players to end up contracting because more people here in the USA have coronavirus than in those other countries. I believe.
Absolutely. You say recently was Clemson said they had 37 people associated with their football program and. Campus is not even full. You know what I mean? That's the summer session. They had 37. And fall, you know, hasn't even started yet. So you're absolutely correct. Now let me jump into this football thing real quick. New England signed Cam Newton. Okay? Bears signed Nick Foles. Bears on the hook for what? $21 million out of that $88 million contract that the Jaguars, you know, signed. So we got a prorated maybe 3 years that the Bears owe about $21 million on that. New England comes up, gets Cam on a one-year deal, and they both got the same pedigree, pretty much. Different type of quarterback, but they're still MVP caliber players, about the same age, but different type of quarterback. Who got the best deal on that?
Definitely New England. I don't think they're the same caliber players because Nick Foles is kind of like a hot. He's a super sub in a way. You know what I'm saying?
But only a super sub in Philadelphia. That's the only place he's been successful at, though.
But I think also when you kind of look at it with the situation with the Bears, again with coronavirus, you couldn't really check Cam out and where you're going to wait, and you didn't know if Cam was hurt. So if you went and invested in Cam, and Cam may not even be quote unquote healthy or back to himself, did it make as much sense? Me personally, when everything was happening, because remember there was a little buzz and rumors that Cam would have preferred to come to Chicago. I would have liked to see Cam, but Nick Foles already knowing the system, it makes sense. One thing, and we're going to get into it later in the show, since we found out that you're only going to have two preseason games, how does that affect necessarily figuring out which quarterback is necessarily going to be the starter? Now, you still got practice. And remember, last preseason, a lot of the times where we kind of heard that Mitchell Trubisky was not playing well. And even when Matt Nagy was like, yeah, I want him to go out there and be advantageous, he still was giving up more picks than they thought he needed to. So that I think you need someone that was healthy. I would have preferred Cam, but I understand which way they went with necessarily Nick Foles.
D and Davis show sent in for the grab. I'm DeMond Spurrell.
I'm Kim Davis. But real quick, Emmett, you still there?
No, I think Emmett's gone.
Emmett, you know you got off, Emmett, because you called in when we did our playoff suggestions. And I don't remember if it was the Titans or Minnesota. Was it Minnesota? Did Minnesota beat the Saints?
I was going back and forth about Tennessee.
And he came at me like and laughed at me. He wasn't in my face. But so Emmett, you know you're not. Ooh, you're lucky. You're lucky. But we appreciate it, Emmett, man. Be safe down there in Nashville.
Yeah, D and David Show sitting in for the grabber. Hey, make sure you give us a call. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can text us at that line as well. Here's one from the 708. We're loving the dedication to the grabber style. All right, we're giving a little grabber style. D and David's grabber style. Can you give us a shout out? Central DeWitt, Iowa. What's up, everybody down in Central DeWitt, Iowa? Checking out the D and Davis filling in for the grabber. Really appreciate it. Hey, listen, you know how I feel about Cam Newton. I saw Cam Newton walking down the street.
This is facts.
This is facts, right? I remember this last season, the Carolina Panthers came in to play
preseason,
Chicago.
Preseason.
And I'm outside of my 9-to-5. I'm just taking a walk and I see this.
I thought
tall.
You were sitting down eating.
No. Okay, I was going out for my daily walk. You know what I'm saying? Just getting outside.
And you hugged him, right? You hugged him? Did you hug him?
I was going to. I was saying, well, Cam, what's going on? I saw this tall brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looked like kind of like a Superman looking man. Like, who is this guy? And I said, wait a minute. Hey, man, listen. I was like.
You throwing bouquets.
I was like, is that Cam Newton? I said, that's Cam Newton. And then it was crazy. Only me and another guy recognized that it was Cam Newton. I was going to say something, but you're like, you know what? I ain't going to bother that brother. He's walking around, you know what I'm saying, had a cigar in his hands, just chilling. I was like, I knew he wasn't going to play today. You know, I mean, play that. I think that was I think they played that day, matter of fact. Well, either the next
day.
That night or something.
Like a Friday night, maybe, or something
like
that.
Yeah, preseason game. Yeah. So I'm like, I ain't going to bother the brother. You know what I'm saying? He just enjoys Chicago. And the one thing that's kind of cool about football players, yes, he stands out, but this isn't Cam Newton 3 or 4 years ago when he was MVP and he was everywhere. His popularity, you know, because the NFL kind of, you know, saying choose up players and spits him out, right? Just be honest about it. His popularity probably wasn't that high, so he could kind of walk around and see against Chicago. He's going to stand out because of how big he is, but he was just kind of walking around like, I'm not going to mess with that brother. But listen, when the Bears, I know I was preaching it for a while, like, man, listen. The Bears should definitely go out to Cam Newton. I think he'll be a great fit. He has something to prove. But you can't really put him through the strenuous test to try to see if he's okay.
And this is shoulder and his foot.
Shoulder and his foot. His ankle, I believe. But this is another point, too.
No, it was his foot.
It was his foot? Okay. This is his foot. So, but this is another thing I think people got to ask themselves when you hear that Cam Newton took such of a lesser deal with the New England Patriots. He has an opportunity to play for the greatest head coach ever in the NFL, one, if not the greatest franchise in the NFL. The New England Patriots can put those deals out to players, mm-hmm. and they're willing to take them because it's kind of like, I'm going to play for the New England Patriots, and I have something to prove. Mm-hmm. You have a defense that's kind of right there, the offense. I mean, the Patriots wasn't there just then, wasn't right last year, but there was a playoff team. You figure you come in with something to prove. You're a former MVP. Cam Newton has put out the workout video saying, like, hey, I'm coming to camp. I'm ready to put it on. You know, so I'm ready to work. I don't know if the Bears are that team that can say, hey, Cam, we're going to give you a $1 million contract, but only half of it's guaranteed. I think that Cam would have been like, I'm good. Deuces.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick and Kraft, he'll take the risk on that.
That year that Randy Moss was traded from the Raiders to New England, he took a pay cut from $9 million to, I think, $3 million, maybe $4 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was basically a decade ago.
And he loved every minute playing in New England, and will tell you that right now.
But it was to revitalize his career and a chance to actually win a Super Bowl. Yep. And you're not guaranteed winning a Super Bowl here in Chicago. Since we're talking Bears situation, let's go to Hank down in Clemson, South Carolina. He wants to talk about the Bears QB situation. Hank, how you doing this morning, man?
Hey guys, awesome show. I just found it. Usually I'm not up this late, but you know, now I am because of this whole coronavirus deal.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Be safe, Hank.
Yeah, for sure. Don't all the problems like a quarterback really stem from the fact that when the Bears had the number two pick, somebody, some genius in the front office decided that Mitch Trubisky would be a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson? Because if you have Deshaun Watson in this quarterback, first of all, I think the year that the Eagles went to the Super Bowl when they barely edged the Bears, I'm for sure that the Bears would have won that game if Deshaun was in a quarterback. Secondly, I just think that they would have a lot more stability and, you know, make a superstar. Because I think Deshaun in Chicago, he would have more jerseys everywhere.
He would have fit
that city perfectly. He would have been as big. I mean, I don't know as big as Jordan, but he would have been at least as big as Sosa was when he was crushing homers all over the city. So I just think that that's where it all stems from. They had a chance to get a franchise quarterback, and they really just, I mean, you could have pulled all 14 ACC coaches, and not one of them would have told you. Even probably the guy at UNC would have rather had Deshaun Watson than Mitch Trubisky. You know, it's kind of like you have a chance for like a great $80 steak, and you go for a banquet $1.99 frozen dinner. You know?
Talk that talk, Hank. Talk that talk. You are absolutely right, Hank. Thank you for the call. We up against the break coming up soon, but Hank, you 100% right, and I think everybody here in Chicago, I know I was, and I know I have people behind me. He's like, listen. Deshaun Watson's right there. He's right there. His head coach said that he was Michael Jordan, basically.
Yeah.
Said he's right there. And
the thing is, and what it alludes to, you can't say Patrick Mahomes because he fell into the right situation to come out of Texas Tech. People mm-hmm. didn't know if he was going to be turnover prone, and he landed with Andy Reid, a QB guru. But yeah, the Watson is the biggest thing because clearly he was who he was. And we've actually talked about that on Dan Davis' show. Hank, he would have owned Chicago.
Yeah.
He would. I mean, the thing is, you got to understand, man, Chicago is a Bears town first.
Yes,
all right?
It is.
So even
Michael Jordan was an anomaly.
Yes. Thank you, D. So he would have. Ooh, listen, he would have owned this city by now. And when you think about, you have a guy that can basically, if you have to, because I'm not an O'Brien fan. And I think he's working against Deshaun Watson, actually, the head coach of the Texans. Being a guy that was supposed to be an offensive guy coming from New England and being at Penn State after what happened with Joe Pa and the Sandusky situation, he hasn't lived up to me necessarily of what he's supposed to be. But you know, we're going to continue on the other side of this break. Dan Davis sitting in for Les Grabstein on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And Davis Show, sitting in for the Grobber, Les Grobstein, 312-644-6767 is the number. You can call us and text us at that line. I am Damon Spurl.
I'm Kenneth Davis.
Hey, make sure you follow us on Twitter at D and Davis Show. Once again, it's at D and Davis Show. I'm on Twitter at Demonze1, D-E-M-O-N-Z-E-1, and Ken's on Twitter at That's Davis. We got more callers. Let's shoot out to Aurora with Brian. Brian, welcome to the score.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Doing good, Brian.
So I just wanted to call in and just briefly mention that I know we all kind of want a sort of like a profit for a quarterback, and it would be like a dream come true. I'm sort of tired of like being the kid like looking at, you know, through the window at like the nice toy everyone else has, sort of, you know?
Yeah.
It's getting kind of old. And but I will say that, you know, I get it. We don't have Patrick Mahomes. We don't have Deshaun Watson. And but Frank, all I really wanted for Christmas last year was like a decent quarterback, right? I don't need a superstar, right? Like I need like 20 points a game, maybe. You know, mm-hmm. just put us in the game. Because mm-hmm. I think it was just a shame to see. You know, we're far from perfect as a football team, but. Yeah, I really hope that whatever contest they end up putting together between these two quarterbacks, that they just pick the guy who can put, you know, just be reliable. I don't want a superstar, you know. I'm really, at this point in my life, if I can make an analogy between relationships, like I don't want to chase after a supermodel. I just want somebody who's there for me. You know what I mean? I just want somebody.
Man, I feel you, brother.
Oh, listen, I'm with you. I think you're tired of the old narrative. Like, yeah, how long have we got to talk about that draft? And I'm with you, man. Being here in Chicago, I mean, I was young enough, but to see some Jim McMahon back in the days, well, man, it's been unfortunate when it comes to the QB situation. It's weird, to be honest with you, that in the last 30 years, we haven't had some guy that's like, that's that guy, basically. And like you're saying, man, I would settle too for even getting someone that's just good, right? Especially with that defense, just someone who's necessarily good to be the quarterback, man. It's like, it's bad business out here in the streets, to say the least.
I don't even want to talk about it no more. I'm hurt. I've just been hurt so many times, and I thought we had some with Jay Cutler, but he was a tease. And then, but shout out to Jay Cutler. He figured out who was getting his chickens. I think it was a raccoon. Were you following that, Ken?
I knew he became a detective. I didn't go and actually watch the.
Yeah, man, he was doing night vision. Found out who was getting his ladies. It was I believe it was a raccoon.
Yeah, you're right.
I got a neighbor two houses down. Yeah, just got some chickens like last month.
Really?
And it's funny because a neighbor next to me, they don't use their garage. And one time they were getting some repairs on it. And the woman working on the repairs was like, it's a mother raccoon and some kids in there. And it's funny because it used to be a possum that used to cut through the yard. But one night I saw the raccoon. And like a possum, even though like they're weird looking, so I don't like it.
Right.
But still, a raccoon is semi-dangerous, right? Like anything that can bite and fight with his hands, it's like, hey, how am I going to take this on necessarily?
Then when you run in the house, can open the door and chase you.
Right. Yeah, dude. I mean, if you see it, I mean, I do very well with my garbage, but if you see how that thing gets in that garbage can, I mean, I only really throw out, because we recycle, 2 bags of garbage a week, but I open that garbage thing, you can see the bites taken out of it, and it's like, I don't think a cat can jump in here and jump out when it's closed. But you know what? Let's go to San Diego, and Mike wants to talk baseball straight deadline. How you doing this morning, Mike?
Hey, D. Davis. How are you guys? I'm new to your show. Nice to talk to you guys.
Thanks, man.
Ah, cool. Hey, listen, I got a question. Number one, that was funny. The guy before me, that was funny. But real quick, let me ask you this real quick. The baseball is baseball going to have a trade period or no?
You know what? I believe
they're still going to have it. Baseball trade deadline.
How do you do that? You bring a guy in from New York to Chicago, or let's say out here in San Diego to Chicago. How do you do that?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's the question. I believe right now it's the 31st of August.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
That's a great thing. Listen, you clicked the question of the night right there, because you're now, since we got basically the teams are only going to play the teams in their region. So basically NL and AL, But you're right. So if you got a, if you're making a trade, let's just say that the Sox to San Diego, like how do you sit there and judge? Does that player going there have to sit out for a certain amount of time before they can be become part of that team? That's a good one. I haven't heard anyone discuss that so far, man. That's a really good question.
Yeah. So that was my question. I mean, I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, but I live out in the West Coast now. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking, like, how do you bring somebody from the West Coast to the East Coast or the Midwest or the Midwest to the South and, you know, vice versa, anywhere in the country at this point?
I totally get that one, man. Thanks for the call. Because I know here I saw that it has to be a concert with in connection with working together, Lori Lightfoot, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and Governor J.B. Pritzker. They want anybody coming into the city or the state to kind of like self quarantine for like what 2 days? Well, not 2 days. I'm sorry, like 14 days, 2 weeks, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Listen, if I make a trade, I'm a Dodger. I own the Dodgers. I want to make a trade to somebody for the Philadelphia Phillies. As I said before, this season is a sprint. It's not a marathon. I'm going to lose that dude for 2 weeks because he got a self-quarantine because he traveled. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, do I send like my special G7 that nobody knows about, my special private jet to go get him so he won't be in quarantine? But you know, based on the travel restrictions, not restrictions, but the guidelines. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna possibly lose somebody because they have to quarantine. That's a really good call, man. That's a really good question.
I think it's gonna be similar to what we've heard about the NBA and their bubble, as far as like when if you make it to the playoffs or the second round of the playoffs, when family members and mm-hmm. people can come down there, that one, they have to start self-quarantine, I believe, at home, and then when they arrive there, and they have to be checked out here, when they arrive to the bubble, they have to be quarantined for a little bit of time too. But Mike, I think it's going to be, I don't even know if they're going to go 14 days, but I would say perhaps 10. I think it's going to be a situation where you have to sit out you have to stay, except be in isolation for about 10 days before they let you get with their team, just in case that you infect the whole team coming from a different region. That's what I would think. And plus, you still do have time before the playoffs actually begin for that player to start to ingratiate himself with the team. Yeah, all right, let's go down to Hot Phoenix with Creighton. I got a last good feeling his last name's Hart. How you doing, Creighton?
Wow, you put me on blast on national radio?
What's up, man? What's up, dude?
Tell him my government name on national radio.
I apologize.
Nah, okay, it's the only one anyway. First of all, John, let me just say I hope you and your families are staying safe. These are crazy, and if I say this word one more time, unprecedented times that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going nuts personally without sports. It's good to hear you guys talking sports because, honestly, these last 3 months have been terrible for me. I realize how bad my life sucks without sports.
And this is oh, come on, Creighton.
It's been bad, fellas. It really has been. But it's good not to be talking about Karens and racial injustice and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not confident that this is going to go well with the startup of sports right now. Mm-hmm. This virus is going to change everything. Just like the gentleman was saying before, like about trade deadlines and stuff like that. You just face it, guys. You guys were talking about like Cam Newton and everything like that. Teams are going to have like four quarterbacks if the NFL starts. And don't even get started with college football. College football cannot start, okay? With every state having different mandates and things like that, college football won't even start, which we know y'all don't even care about college anyway, but I'm just saying. But
oh, I care about the SEC, my friend.
Oh, so now you care about the SEC. I remember we used to talk about college sports back in the day. You used to always laugh at me.
No, I care about the SEC.
That was probably me laughing because my Miami Hurricanes stink. But, you know.
PU, yes, they do. the only thing I'll say, though, like with this virus, is it going to change the whole landscape of sports? Like, if one person catches it on the team, like, how can you keep everything going? Like, if star players start to catch it, like, it's just, honestly, I just don't think it's going to bode well. I think you're going to see the start of sports, but then you're going to see it get shut right back down because this virus ain't going nowhere, fellas.
Yep. Hey, listen, hold on. Creighton, you still there, Creighton?
I'm here. I'm glad.
Okay, how was it in Arizona right now? I heard Arizona is
absolutely crazy here right now. And you know, some people aren't wearing the mask. The cases are rising rapidly right now here. It's absolutely nuts. And then, you know, how can you even have people traveling here right now where it's not safe? Places like here, Texas, Florida, we're at the hot spots right now. You know, we our cases right now are growing more rapidly than they did with New York when this first came out earlier this year. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. I'm telling you, man, I put on gloves just to wave at people. Now I don't even I don't play around with it anymore, Phil. I mean, I never did. I never thought it would get like this bad, but it's absolutely horrible. And for us sports fans, man, it's driving me cuckoo, fellas. I don't know about y'all, but man.
No, I feel you, Creighton. I feel you. And also, too, you think about, as you, Creighton, you said how it's such a hot spot out there. Then you would have governors who obviously are going to oversee what's happening in the state. And you look at Gavin Newsom in California, he ain't playing because he was the first one to lock it down. If let's just say, what, how many team coaches, the players, organization, period, for NFL, for one NFL team has to travel to another state
at
or to
least
another
about
100 something, right?
I mean, exactly. At least 100 plus, for sure.
At least 100 plus. So if you have somebody, we just talked about this before, talking about traveling just with the baseball deadline, 100 people coming across the country into my state, not let alone, I don't know what's happening or what they've been going on. I don't think Gavin Newsom's going to say, yeah, L.A. Rams, you can play against the New England Patriots. I don't know the schedule, but I'm just giving an example.
Because we all know what it's ultimately about. It's all about those dead presidents. Mm-hmm. That's what it ultimately comes down to. And unfortunately, we're putting money over humanity. And, like, that's not cool. People don't realize, though, as much as we love sports, it is a form of entertainment, okay? It is not a necessity. Okay.
True.
Now, for bozos like me who think it's sometimes a necessity, you have to really look myself in the mirror and say it's really not. As bad as we want it, I mean, it's not worth it when lives are at stake. It really isn't.
Creighton, I'm happy you are being safe because I was worried about you a week or so ago when you was on vacation and saying you was at home. I was like, I hope he's staying his butt in the house rather than being out in the streets. But I'm with you, period. It's all about the money. Former score host Julia Carroll has been posting all over the place that these sports don't need to come back. And the facts are, yeah, fire entertainment is cool, but it's humans' lives. Like something I mentioned the Ken Rosenthal article that Dan Bernstein mentioned. Coming up after this break, we're going to have Ian Happ's interview with Dan Bernstein from yesterday. But dude, if something bad happens, how are we going to view sports going forward? Like, forget the bench. I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's being mean. But not alone of somebody that's not a star, but imagine if something happens to a star. Imagine if a star passes, but what if a star is compromised moving forward because we rush to get back into something when we have no vaccine for it whatsoever? Listen, if I had the money already, I was put in this position, I'd be looking to opt out. That's just facts as far as me being concerned. If I had enough dollars, because, man, I'm going to want to, one, take care of my family health-wise, but also ensure that I can capitalize on my income moving forward in the future. But I'm with you, Craig, man. It's all about the cream. Definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, Dean Davis Show, send in for the grabber. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can call us and give us a text.
Yeah.
You going to say, Ken?
Yeah. I mean, dude, I don't know, man. We live in this has been like some weird times. That we're living in. We're talking about that masks are a debate, right? Like, we live in some real weird times, man. And I'm not to say we didn't have weird times in the past, but, man, common sense has flown out the window. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I don't care what partisan side you're going. I want your butt to live, all right?
Absolutely.
Like, that's the thing. Like, man, I'm in good health. I'm not old, but still there's a risk. And it's a risk for me that's not worth taking, you know, and you're talking about locker rooms and, of course they're going to clean it. And at least these are billion-dollar teams. So you don't have to worry about, like, just sometimes we're hearing discussion with Afton, talking with, her associates at work. And talking about, you know, how often the lunchroom is usually cleaned and stuff like that. And, like, you know, at least in these situations with these teams, they can afford to have someone on it. Or how often the bathroom is being cleaned. You know what I'm saying? But you're still talking about people yelling, screaming. You know, sports gets you amped up. So there's droplets being thrown all over the place. We see the crazy thing. I mean, it's one thing to see these professional players and how many people, especially the last couple of weeks, I just saw the LA Clippers had to shut down their practice facility because players tested positive. Yeah, that just saw that earlier. And just we've seen that with several facilities. I think that maybe the Nets, several other facilities that had to shut down to that. But even to think about these college kids, like that's the kicker. Like going back and being on campus, they're not getting paid, and they have to sit out here and risk themselves and perhaps risk their future. Maybe not a future as just an athlete, but a future just moving forward. Man, that's a lot to put on somebody just to entertain us. Again, other side of this break, Ian Happ is going to join up, not join us, but is going to be on here with the interview from Dan Bernstein this morning. Dan Davis sitting in for Les Grobstein on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back.
Ian Happ.
Happ drives one in the air. Left center field. It's got a chance. Grand slam. Grand slam. Ian Happ.
Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
This is trouble back toward the wall as Happ on the track makes the catch. Very good play by Ian Happ. That was not a routine play.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
We have Jeremy Piven joining the podcast today.
I remember when you guys won the World Series, you know, after 108 years, I was doing a night shoot with Jamie Foxx, and the game started, and it was like torture because, you know, here I am, a lifelong Cubs fan, and it finally happens, and I'm on the set. And my first priority has to be totally present in that shoot. So I would have, like, crew members coming up and whispering in my ear, you're down two runs. And I'd be in the middle of the scene, you know, just like, shut up! I literally rapped, and I ran down the street and was standing right outside the pub and got to watch that final play. And so I got to see it happen in real time by just one play. So I felt very fortunate. It was an incredible feeling.
Ian Happ, every Thursday on the Dan Bernstein Show on 670 The Score.
Welcome back.
Breaking form a bit today to do this right out of the gate with Ian Happ, who is on Twitter at IHAP_1 and joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. So you're back to work, Ian. How's the new routine?
I am back to work. I'm very excited about it. It's a little different. We're kind of still trying to figure things out. I don't think not everybody's gotten tested yet. Everybody's getting into town. We're not officially started yet, I guess, with team practice. So we'll get in a little bit better routine at the end of the week.
Have you been tested yet?
I have, yep. I've been tested, cleared, actually at Wrigley now. So being able to get my work in here has been great. First day was yesterday. Hit on the field with Anthony, and it was just – the field's perfect right now. It's beautiful. I wish people could see it because it was just a special moment to be outside hitting baseballs again at Wrigley Field.
I know it's got to be weird in the locker room or what's functioning as locker rooms right now, because after all that time and all that effort to give you guys that special place to be, and now you can't sort of have it. The connections with teammates are going to be different right now. Your interactions are going to be different. How are you sort of maintaining distance while also being together in a way that baseball teams have to be together?
Yeah, it's very strange. You know, everybody's wearing masks to the clubhouse. The group is spread out. You have lockers all over the place and you know, using the visiting locker room and just all kinds of stuff that you would never think of having to do at Wrigley Field. So it's definitely strange, but the precautions are necessary. Our entire staff is doing a great job with staying on top of it, making sure that all the protocols are followed, and really just making sure the guys are as safe as they can possibly be.
I know you guys have talked about it on the compound and Dakota Meckes. I'm just saying, like, how do you not spit? How does a pitcher not spit? I mean, are the spit police walking around? Are there signs? Are there reminders of trying to create new and healthier habits?
No police out yet, just because I think not everybody's here yet. I think there will be some people watching and making sure that the rules are being followed. But for right now, it's on the players. It's on us. You know, we understand the protocols. We've seen them. I was outside yesterday taking BP and was definitely conscious of that, conscious of just everything that we're talking about doing to make sure that we're in as safe a place as possible, because it will be a competitive advantage to keep guys on the field, to keep guys healthy, as well as the right thing to do.
Tommy Hotovy came on The Score yesterday at 8 o'clock and told his personal and harrowing story about his ordeal with COVID-19. He said that he had been sharing his journey, as he called it, with the pitchers. How aware were others of what he was going through, and how sobering is it to have it hit home like that?
Yeah, I think I was more aware than most of our position players just because I was living in the house with Dakota as he was going through it. And so Dakota would be on the pitcher's calls and we would get weekly updates on how he was doing. And I think the most amazing part of that is both his family situation, having to be very, very isolated, and also the fact that he wasn't testing negative for a month, I guess. So I can't imagine. I think that we're all happy that he's back to being healthy, that he's putting some weight back on. But yeah, just, it was the whole Cubs family was definitely with him through that time.
I want to get to the news of the day, or certainly of yesterday, when MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred was on the Dan Patrick Show and didn't just say the quiet part out loud. He went further than that in saying that no matter what would happen in negotiation, essentially they were never going to play more than 60 games, and just admitting openly that much of some supposed negotiation was really not that. He said the reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. And I'm thinking, dude, For a Harvard law-trained negotiating professional to not understand the sword of Damocles that is that grievance that's still hanging over his head, that you guys did not waive your right to grieve. Did your jaw drop when you saw this?
I've seen the quote. I haven't seen the full interview, so I hope, I guess I don't hope, but I don't know if it's out of context or not. But, just a crazy thing for him to say. And the other part of that is, I think we knew pretty early on that was their number, or somewhere around there was their number, because of the proposals that they were sending over, because of the percentage of the salaries that they were willing to pay. But it's not good for the game. It's not good for the way that the fans look at the game. And if Major League Baseball is looking fans in the eye and telling them that they're only going to play a certain percentage of the season, I just don't think that's where we want to head as a group.
And I think very simply that those words, best efforts, that's National Labor Relations Board can look at this and say that at the very least that falls far short of the legal standard of best efforts when you say we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations went. That is very clearly, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an arbitrator, but that doesn't look like best efforts to me.
Nope, it definitely doesn't, and it definitely didn't feel like best efforts at the time, until right at the end there when they were in their window of exactly what they probably internally had agreed to. So it is unfortunate that that's how the negotiation went overall.
Ian, I know you only have a couple of minutes for us. I appreciate you carving out some time, as always. We'll get into a little bit more of a regular routine, looking probably 9:30 or so most Thursdays when we can let it breathe a little bit more. But I just wanted to ask about something that I heard in your conversation that you had with Jeremy Piven. When you're talking about why it's nice to play for the Cubs and why it's nice to play in Chicago, and there's something that I wanted to make sure that I heard right, where you said that the media was generally, I don't know if the word you use was nicer or favorable or maybe compared to other markets. And I'm wondering, how do you judge that? What's the context? Is that a shared sentiment around MLB that it's a nicer place to play with your interactions with the media?
Yeah, Chicago is a pretty favorable place with the media because for the most part, the group isn't out to get you. They're not out to make a storyline of a misquote or only print part of the story. They do a great job of giving us a chance to really express ourselves and hear our voice. And it's treated more as a season. They're a little bit more understanding. I know we were very fortunate with Joe to take a lot of pressure off us and do a lot of the media responsibilities. But just Looking at some of the other major markets that I know we've heard guys that have played for some of the markets, and they talk about 162 single game seasons, where, you know, at the end of every day, it's you know, if you lost that day, it's the end of the world. So our media, our market does a great job of kind of seeing the whole picture about not getting too high or too low. And I think we really appreciate that as a group. We appreciate the fact that we can feel comfortable talking to our media and not feel like we always have to be 100% on guard.
Well, it's going to be put to the test now, because now we do have 60 individual seasons essentially right now.
Exactly right. Yeah, we hope. I hope that those comments will carry on. I hope everybody's listening. Go, you stay nice with us. We're doing our best here.
Ian, thanks as always. We'll let you get back to work and look forward to talking next week.
Thanks so much.
That is Ian Happ, who joins us every Thursday here on Sports Radio 670.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.